Well, we're going to teach again this morning. We've started a series last week. It's called Lining Up with God's Word to Receive Healing. And this is an outline that I got out of it was a book that Doug Jones did, and I took things from his book. It's a good outline on teaching in areas of really laying a foundation for people to receive healing. And really, you have to come in line with the Word. When people talk about faith, people talk about having faith. And many times when people talk about having faith, we have a misconception because probably we look at what is generally said publicly about faith. You know, people will make statements like, what faith are you of? In other words, they're talking about your religious beliefs or whatever it is. I mean, there's a lot of groups out here that they talk about being a faith. Well, it's a faith from the standpoint that's what people believe, but it's not Bible faith, and it's not what God talks about when God talks about faith. When anything outside of what God's Word says, God calls it unbelief. He doesn't care if people believe it or not. He doesn't call it belief. It's not faith. The New Testament teaches faith is in the Word of God. Anything outside of that is called by the New Testament unbelief. So if somebody believes something and they think, well, he's a Christian and they believe it, if it's not in line with God's Word, God calls it unbelief. So we need to understand that. It's coming in line with God's Word. When we want to act in faith with God, we have to be in line with God's Word. So in teaching on the subject of healing, it means then that we have to come in line with God's Word. That's where our faith has to lie, in what God's Word says, not in what somebody's belief, just because they believe it's a certain way or it's a certain thing, or they have certain, you know, they've had certain experiences. Because we can't go by our experiences, we have to go by what the Word of God says. So, and that's what we're teaching. We're looking at, so we want to come in line with God's Word. And we talked about last week of the fact is for someone to be saved, they have to come in line with God's Word to be saved. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin one time in a vision. He told him many people who claim to be Christians really aren't Christians. He said they have come. And he said, oh, they prayed prayers and did things, but he said many of them have not acted in line with the Word of God. They have had religious belief on it. Somebody told them, well, you know, you pray this prayer and they pray a prayer. But the person has never come to faith in God's Word. And that's why Kenneth Hagin, you'll find in his books, in the back of the books, has a prayer that's in the back of his books. Jesus gave him that prayer personally. Jesus said, if a person believes what that prayer says, believes it and confesses it, they would be saved. He said every time, if a person believed it in their heart and said it, they would be saved. See, we have the things, oh, somebody prayed a prayer. Well, then therefore we act like they did something of faith. It may not. A person could take the Word of God, pray it, but didn't believe it in their heart. There was no faith involved and nothing will take place. And the church has been very ignorant of these things. And this is why a lot of stuff doesn't work for people. We have the side, you know, today where people, you know, well, you know, is dealing with faith and confession. There's many people, they'll say, well, I'm confessing this or confessing that. Well, that's fine, but do you really believe it in your heart? You can confess it, but if you don't believe it in your heart, it ain't going to happen just because I confess it. See, and this is many people get maybe a right confession. Then on the other hand, you have a person who believes what God's Word says in their heart, but they never confess it. So it produces nothing. You could have both sides. You could have both sides. So what we want to do is we want to bring people in line with the Word of God. That's what you have to do. You have to get them in line with what God's Word says, to believe what God's Word says, and then to act on what God's Word says. They'll have real results. And that's what we want. We want to come to the place where we have real results. So it's just like somebody being saved. We would have to bring them in line with what the Word of God says. They would have to come to the place to believe in their heart and then make a confession with their mouth. That's what the Bible tells us. And so they'd have to believe what the Word of God says and then act upon it. Well, healing would be the same thing. In other words, there is a certain amount of knowledge first that a person must come to. They have to come to a certain knowledge. Nobody can get saved or accept Jesus Christ without coming to a knowledge of Jesus Christ and what he did through his death, burial, and resurrection. If they can't be saved. And that's what sometimes people do. They just get a person to pray a prayer. But never, the person's never come to the knowledge of their need for salvation and what Jesus did to fulfill that need. So if you don't come to that, you're accepting Jesus becomes sort of just a, you know, they don't really know who he is or what he did. They don't really have a clue. And so we bring a person to that knowledge. Well, it's healing is the same way. We have to gain knowledge on what God has said about healing. We got to gain knowledge. So anybody with the standpoint of they're sick, they're going to have to accumulate amount of knowledge on what God said or the principles that God's word says concerning healing. They have to come to that place. You know, over the years, I mean, so many times I've had people say to me, you know, well, I believe God can heal. Well, that doesn't, really, that amounts to nothing. It doesn't amount, you know, this is one thing, I believe this. I believe Bill Gates could give me $1 billion. I believe that. I believe he could. But I can't believe he will. He's never told me he would. So I can't have any faith in the fact that he would ever give me $1 billion. He would have to tell me that he is going to do that. He's willing to do that for me if I would ask him. Then I could say, okay, he says I'm willing to give you $1 billion if you'd ask me for it. Well, then I can have faith for it. But it doesn't matter if he has $1 billion and he could do it for me. What does that mean? Bill Gates could give a number of people $1 billion, but you can't believe him for it. See, we need to understand that many people are walking around and they think, well, I believe God can do this, or I can believe God can do anything. So what? What does that amount to? Nothing. It amounts to nothing. It doesn't believe what you believe God can do. What amounts to anything is what you know God will do. That's the place that you can walk in faith. You can never walk in faith in what you don't know for sure that he will do for you. If you don't know that he'll do it for you, you can't walk in faith. We had one instructor at Rhema. Used to say this all the time. He taught a series of Old Testament men of faith, and he used to say this, faith is where the will of God is known. Faith is where the will of God is known. If you don't know what the God's will is on a subject, you can have no faith in him to do anything in it. First, you have to know his will. Like the Bible tells us, we know and we tell a person, because I've heard, you know, like people say already, I've had, you know, witnessing to people, and they'd say, well, you know, I believe I've done too many bad things, you know. Well, they have to know that God's willing that none should perish and all should come to repentance. That's the will of God. So I can tell them, look, I know what God's will is on the subject here. You think you've done so bad. Well, I can take him, you know, to the Corinthians and tell him, say, hey, you know, tell him what the gospel of reconciliation is. God's not holding your sin against you. He's willing that none should perish and all should come to repentance. So I can lead him to the place where he can know, no matter how bad he's done, God is willing to save him. Well, then he can believe God to save him. But if he don't know that, well, then he stays over in the area of you know, not understanding, and he doesn't respond to God by faith. So you have to line the person up with what the Word of God says. And so that's part of what, you know, it's so important, really, that we do that. So we talked last week about, you know, proclaiming to person the God side and the man side. There's always two sides. We need to line up in our belief with God's side. Find out what God said. Bring a person to the place to find out what God said. In other words, that's God's part. You can never do God's part. You do man's part. See, I can't heal me, but I can do things that line me up to receive my healing. I can do things to line up so I receive my healing. I can do that. There's a side that I play. There's a manward side, but there's a Godward side. And first of all, man has to find out what God has done. And we talked about the fact, just in areas of salvation, when you find out, what did God do about salvation for men? When you find out the side that God is the one, he's forgiven all men their sin. He's forgiven man, you know, he took our sin on him. So in other words, sin is no longer an issue to keep me away from God. Sin doesn't keep men away from God. Well, we must be able to tell people that and convey that to them so they know this is what God has done. So God's dealt with the sin issue. God is willing that none should perish, so we deal with that issue. Well, then there's a manward side. We talked about that last week. Well, what does a man do? Well, the Bible tells us that man, on the other side, this is what a man does. We read, with Romans 10:9, where it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's the man side of it. So in other words, it tells us, isn't it amazing? It doesn't say there, if you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin. You don't ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin. That's what you do if you're a Christian and you sin. You can confess your sin. But what do we do? The person is supposed to believe already God's forgiven them of their sin, that Jesus took their sin on the cross. He took their sin and died for their sin and went and paid the penalty for it. I don't ask Jesus to forgive me of my sin. I receive the forgiveness of my sin. I say, Jesus did that for me. I believe Jesus took my sin. I believe that if I confess Jesus as Lord and God raised him from the dead, I will be saved. See, man needs to get saved, not forgiven of sin. That's been done. Man needs to receive that. So in that part, see, it's lining up with what God's Word says. Getting in line with the Word of God. If we don't position people to get in line, and even ourselves, many times Christians themselves are not lined up to receive what God has for them, and they just keep trying to get something from God, but they're really not lined up with what the Word of God says. And so these are the things that we're looking at here. So if we're going to line up with God's Word, we talked about the fact is you have to be teachable. That's a huge one. You have to be teachable. Not everybody that comes and wants something is teachable or wants to hear what has to be done. Some people come and if you talk to them about what they have to do to line up, they don't like it. No, you just don't understand. You know, a lot of people, they think faith is this just general thing. I could have faith to be saved and get born again and really not have any faith in God for anything else. And if you told that person they don't have the faith, I've taught to tell people, ready, you don't have any faith in the area for healing. Well, they get mad. I have faith. Well, that's just telling them, well, if you have faith, then what are you doing here with me? You got this faith, well, then go use it and do it. Say, you ain't got faith, you'd be here sitting talking to me. You don't have faith. You have a way of thinking, but you don't have, that doesn't make it faith. See, they take faith and generalize it. Look, your faith, it's just like whether it's finances or whatever it is that you need from God, you have to have knowledge of it. In other words, faith is where the will of God's known. Therefore, whatever I'm after with God, I must have knowledge about that area, or I can't respond to Him in faith in that area. I can't respond to Him in faith. If I already know what He wants me to know in that area, then I have faith. I wouldn't be asking somebody else why it ain't working. Nobody who is actually in faith would ever come and say to anybody, why isn't it working? Because saying, why isn't it working, is saying, I'm not believing. If I believed I received it, I wouldn't be saying it's not working. I know a person, you understand that. You get what we're saying. See, people are operating out there and people call things faith. And they're saying, I'm trusting God, but I don't understand why. You're not trusting God. Come on. Not according to the Bible, but according to religious belief, but not according to the Bible. According to the Bible, you're operating in unbelief. So in other words, we want to come to faith. When you find out what the will of God says, then you and I can come to faith. From Mark 11:24, we read it, and we talked about it as being like a mathematical, equation. And really, it is a mathematical equation. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say to you, whatever thing you ask when you pray, believe you receive it, and you'll have it. So the word, whatever you ask, we talk about that word ask. It means, you could use the word desire, to means to crave or require. So in other words, the thing you're asking God for, You know, plus believing you receive it equals you will have it. And in other words, asking alone, there's nowhere in Scripture gives you the idea is because you ask for something, God's going to respond to you. There's no place in Scripture gives you that idea. The idea here is in this. If you believe, you receive it. See, that's faith. That's where faith. You could ask God anything and not have a bit of faith in it, what you're asking for. Asking does not mean you have any faith whatsoever. Most people that ever pray, pray with no faith. And they, what they do is they ask God, and they're just hoping God will do something. They're, you know, they've never believed they received anything. You know, God, I need help. Help me. Well, you ask, but you didn't have believe I received, so you can't end up with, you know, like one and one is two. You know, you can't get ask and end up with two when you have it, you don't have the believe you receive. You must believe you receive it. And the only way you can believe you received it, you have to believe that He is willing to give it to you. See, that's where the will of God is known. If you can't pray the prayer of faith if you don't know it's God's will to give it to you. You can't pray it. Impossible. Nobody ever prayed in faith that didn't know that it was God's will to give them to them. I have to know that if I ask God for healing, that He will give it to me. That is faith. If I don't know that He will give it to me, if I think sometimes He heals, sometimes He don't, there's no faith involved. There's no faith involved in that. Anybody could do that. A total heathen can do that. So I must believe that I receive it. In other words, He said yes. See, the Bible says that all the promises of God are yes and amen. Well, if they're yes and amen, in other words, they're given. I never have to sit around and think about it. If I find a promise of the Word, I know it belongs to me. I know that if I ask God anything that He promised, I can have it. You know, salvation. You can have salvation. He promised it to everybody. He's willing that none should perish. He promised it to everybody. He forgave every man his sin. Anybody can believe that Jesus is Lord, God raised Him from the dead. Anybody can do that. So I know for a shadow of a doubt that anybody that does that will get saved. They can believe they receive salvation, can't they? That's, you know, we know we can. It's the same way. You come to the place of healing. See, I read the Scripture where it says, Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. Well, you know what? If He did, then that's a done deal. It don't say, Ed, if you pray and ask me to take your sickness, I will. It don't ever, I ask people say, I pray God take His sickness away from me. That's unbelief. There's no faith in that. He already did that. He already took your infirmities. You're asking Him. That's like, see, when if a person came to Jesus who wasn't saved and asked Jesus to forgive them of their sin, you know that's really unbelief. Because He's already done it. The Bible, did he take our sin when He went to hell? Did He do that? Well, did He forgive me? Or did Paul lie when he wrote to the church at Corinth and says, we're not supposed to tell the world God's not holding sin against them? Why isn't He? Why? Because the sin issue's been settled. The sin issue's been settled. See, for me to ask God to forgive me to get saved is really unbelief. I'm asking, what, is Jesus going to go to the cross? Die for my sin again? Is that what's going to happen? Well, no. It's done. See, faith is, I believe, I've been preached to that He already, before I was born on this earth, Jesus had already taken my sin, took it upon Himself, and dealt with it. All I have to do is receive Him as my Lord and Savior. That's all I got to do. The sin issue's been settled. You see, the church world has complicated the Bible. They have made the Bible difficult to understand. That's why people have trouble with healing. They made it difficult. They're trying to get God to heal them. Well, I'm not trying to get God to heal me. That's something God did. So when you look at it in the right perspective, you start getting in line, changes everything. When you start seeing what the Bible said, if Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses, well then, that is a done deal. That's not something I'm trying to get Him to do. If I recognize He did that, well then, I can receive my healing, can't I? I can receive forgiveness of sin. I can receive Him I said, Jesus forgave me of my sin. Praise God. I can confess. He's Lord. I believe God raised him from the dead. So that would be my side to do. So we want to walk in line. And getting in line is just like this, is looking at Scripture here, was the standpoint of Mark 11:24, is like a formula. And if you follow it, you're going to have the results. We talked about the fact there's never been anybody, no one, has ever acted in line with those Scriptures and not gotten. If they have, they knew the will of God, they prayed, ask Him, they declared it, they believed, they received it, they will get what the Word says. There's no other way for it to be. If it isn't, well, then the Bible's a lie. What are you going to trust? Well, then what, you know, if it didn't work, well, then what's He going to do? Not make some of the other stuff work too? You see, you got to get clear of your mind. And see, this is why many people are coming to God, even as Christians, and really, they're skeptics. And that's one thing you have to find out. Most people are skeptics, because they have been taught to be a skeptic. So you got to locate them. That's one of the things we want to do, is locating yourself or locating others, whether you're dealing with yourself in an area or you're dealing with somebody else. You got to locate yourself. Where are you? What do you really believe? Find out what you believe, because we got to come in line with the Word of God. You know, sometimes there's areas of things that we don't know. As one thing, as we know with Jesus, you know, He located people. In John 16:12, Jesus said to his disciples, He said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." In other words, they were not in a position to understand it. So in other words, there was other things that they had to learn before they could come to hear those things. Now, Jesus said those things to His disciples. Now, in John 16, when Jesus quoted that to them in verse 12, it changed after they were born again. After Jesus, this was quoted before Jesus died and was rose from the dead, they weren't born again. See, there's things, if He'd have talked to them as not being born again, it had never worked. Now, after they were born again, these guys, you know, God surely revealed things and revealed a lot of stuff to them. But He said, in other words, a person, even as a Christian, can be at a place or a point where certain things, you know, I found this sometimes dealing with Christians. They're you know, they want healing, and they're so focused on the areas of get healing, of receiving their healing, that they won't listen to what you say to try to bring them in line to get it. All their focus is, I just want to get my healing. I don't want to learn this other stuff. I just want that. I need that. I need that right now. You know. But if they don't learn, if they don't pay attention and get a hold of this other stuff, they ain't getting there. They need to learn certain things or certain truths or things that they had to do. In other words, locating. You have to locate where a person's at. Sometimes a person will allow you to locate where they're at and help them from there. Some people won't. Sometimes some people will not let you deal with them on stuff. They have their ideas, and they're just going to stick with that. And if you try to take them on, and like I said, sometimes you have to say to a person, look, you're not in faith in this area. And the reason you know they're not in faith, because they don't understand what God's Word says about what they want. Well, if they don't understand what God's Word says, it's impossible for them to be in faith. People say, oh, you're judgmental. Judgmental? There's nothing judgmental about it. You know, it's an obvious fact. If you don't believe what God's Word says on a subject, to say you have faith in it is absolutely stupid. I mean, that's ignorance gone to seed. I mean, that's just dumb as you get. I don't know what God said about it, but I'm trusting. Well, you know, that's ignorance. And people say, well, you know, you're judging me. Well, you know, and I see a person like that, I just stop and say, well, there's no point. We have a discussion beyond this point. There's no point in talking about it. We ain't going there. You came to me, you ask a question, I'm giving you an answer, and that ain't the answer you want. So what's the point? I'm not going to side with you, so forget it. You know, it's no point in that. So, but bringing to a personal point, finding out where they're at, locating a person. So, you know, we for the standpoint of teaching people, so we don't teach a person. It's just like from a natural standpoint, You wouldn't teach a child to multiply if they don't know how to add and subtract. You wouldn't teach them how to multiply. I mean, that'd be dumb to go on and try it, so you don't do that. Well, it's the same way with the Word of God. The Word of God has sequence in learning. And I think that's one of the things of, you know, that a lot of Christians don't like, because there's been a lot taught that, you know, sort of a, I guess I've said this before, that the Word of God's sort of like mystical. It's, oh, you know, if you try to bring any kind of form or any kind of systematic way of with God's Word, people get upset about it. Well, you're being legalistic and God's go. Yeah, but no, you're not being legalistic. We need to understand this. God's kingdom runs off of rules and regulations, and you don't follow them? You know, men don't make rules and regulations. Could you imagine out here if on our highways we had no rules and regulations? You know what it would be like? It'd be like Christianity today. A train wreck. It would. If there isn't rules and regulations that follow the things, I mean, it just ends up a bunch of confusion. Everybody does what they want. Most people, whether they realize it or not, most Christians think that way about the Word of God. They think that it's just sort of, you know, I believe it this way. It's like, you know, I've heard this so many times from people who consider themselves spiritual, and they'll say things like, a person's in an area and you know things ain't working for them, and they'll say, well, God knows their heart. I'd just like to slap them on the head and say, wake up, you idiot. Sure, God knows their heart, and He knows it's wrong about what they're believing in their heart. This is why it don't work for them. You know what? You being a nice person don't mean things are going to work out nice for you. Did you ever figure that out? We'd have never got the saying, the good die young, if being good got you anywhere. Just being good ain't going to get you somewhere. That saying would have never come around. See, the devil will kill you. You play good, he'll kill you. If you don't understand, if you don't understand how things work, he'll kill you. So you want to get yourself into the area, you know, and people get over and talk that crazy stuff and say those things. It really is, and most people believe along those lines. You know, well, you know, that guy has a good heart. But they'll say, well, you know, they love God. Duh, they love God. What does that mean? They love God. You know, they love God. Well, isn't that wonderful? They love God. Well, let's see how things work out just because they love God. You know, is it going to work? I mean, it's like, it's real nonsense, you know, that people get into. But religion's promoted this way of thinking. And we have these sayings. We have this talk that goes on. And people believe it's spiritual. They do. They've been taught. And they think it's spiritual to say these things. They think it amounts to something, but it doesn't. They think it does. They've been taught that. And this is why, as we bring people into line, we have to move people over in, find out where people are at in their thinking. Some people, you can lead them in the area of healing easier than you can other people, because some people have really, you know, beliefs that are way off, and you have to get them back over to the Word of God. You find that people hate to give up their religious beliefs. They were born and raised in a church, and they, you know what? If they, you know, some people, they'll stick with what grandma and grandpa said if it kills them. They will. Because I don't want to admit grandma and grandpa were wrong, because I really loved them. Well, I don't care if you loved them. They could be wrong. But you have to get it. You get people over it. They've been drilled for years. And years on end in religious beliefs. And sometimes it's hard to break people away from that. You know, this is the way they've lived. And it becomes to them a natural way of thinking and walking and doing. So it's really breaking a habit with them almost. You know, it's almost like, in a way, like being a drug addict. You know, you're just so into doing certain thing, and sometimes a belief in a person can almost be like that. You know, they've been living that thing for, you know, 30 years, and all of a sudden you're trying to change that. And it's like, well, you know, they naturally flow to that direction. So working with people, that's one thing, is I've found this over the years. It is much easier to take a person that don't know much about Christianity at all and teach them than it is somebody who thinks they know about Christianity. It's much easier, because they're not trying to unlearn and learn new things. where that person who didn't know, they didn't know nothing. So they're not trying to unlearn about what they were told Christianity was. So that can be different. Now, there are people who don't have as hard a time. They're willing to give up. But generally, people aren't always willing to give up what they learned before, you know. Kenneth Hagin made this statement, and he said, from a general statement, he said, from, you know, generally people, not everybody, but he said, I spent more time focused on teaching to younger people than older people because he said, a lot of older people don't want to change the way they think. They want to keep, he said, they'll just keep on down the road, just keep doing, believing what they believe. I found that out when I was, the church that we were in, and the pastor came and asked me to teach the adult Sunday school class. Well, most all the adults in the Sunday school class were probably people that were, probably the average age was probably, you know, they were probably from middle 50s to middle 60s, probably the most of them were. There was ones that were younger in there, but you know what, the most of them, I mean, you could sit and tell them what the Bible said, but they had all of their beliefs. They didn't pay attention. They'd get mad at you. They'd get mad at me over the Bible. I'd say, look, I didn't tell you this. I said, the Bible told you that. That's the Bible. I just read you the scripture and you're mad at me. But that, you know, they didn't like it. They didn't really want to hear what the Bible said. We have our beliefs. You know, and some of those people today, they still don't believe what's right. They still go through their things and talk about all God and healing and that stuff. They can never get healed. They don't ever get healed. But they go through all the rigmarole of their belief. They never did change. Now, that doesn't mean all of them. Some of them listened and got blessed. But from a general standpoint, boy, I tell you, it's like pulling teeth, man. They didn't want to hear another. The Bible said, we got the way we believe on these things. We believe it's this way. And so people, though, who don't have a lot of religious training are usually easier. It's easier to deal with people who haven't had a lot of religious training. Religious training is a tough thing. It's a hard thing to deal with. I want us to look at something because in an area of scripture, and you can see about finding out where people are before you deal with them. I want to read from Acts 17. There's an area here that the Apostle Paul, it's an incident where he was in Greece, and I want to read to you about Paul. He's going to minister. He wants to minister salvation. He wants to minister Christ to these people and sort of what he finds out about them and really in the areas of ministry. Now, in Acts 17 and verse 15, it says, so those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a command from Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed. It says, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw the city was given over to idols. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him. Some said, what does this babbler want to say? Others said, he seems to be a proclaimer of a foreign god, because he preached them Jesus and his resurrection. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine is in which you speak? For you are bringing some strange thing to our ears, therefore we want to know what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either in to tell or to hear some new thing. Sounds like America today. One was going to hear something new. We got some new thing. And from a philosophy standpoint. He says, then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with the inscription to the unknown God. Therefore, one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. So in other words, what Paul did, Paul looked at what these people were doing. He went and looked. In other words, Paul's sort of sizing them up. Paul's trying to find out where they're at. in their believing. So you got to find out where a person's at in their believing. And it's like I said, sometimes some people don't like that when you find out where they're at in their believing. But Paul's finding out where they're at. So he's going around looking at all these gods they worship and what they're doing. They're out, these people, you know, he said they're out here, they have all their philosophies and that stuff. So Paul's paying attention about those things. So Paul uses an incident where he finds, you know, because now they have an unknown God. See, they got this God, they're worshiping really everything in the sun, but Paul uses this. Say, I'm gonna tell you who this unknown God is you guys worship. So he uses that. In other words, you know what really it is? These people, at least they have come to the point to realize that there's the gods that they worship don't fulfill everything that they can see and understand and going on. So they know there's some kind of other God, something else tied in here. You know, they come to that reasoning. Sometimes I wish some Christians would come to that reasoning to realize that, you know, that the direction they're going, they don't know all that they need to know. And so he preaches. In other words, he finds out where they're coming from. Now, we do find out in this, if you go on and read it, I'm not going to go on and read the whole thing. Paul, there's a small amount of them. Some of them accept, but other ones don't. You know, they're religion. They're, you know, some people, and you need to understand that. Just because you preach the truth to somebody don't mean they're going to receive it. You know, you have to learn to do that. Back years ago, back in the early 80s, there was a guy, a prophet from down in Texas. I was in a series of meetings that he was in ministering. And he would come to this one church and minister there. And I was there at the ministry. And he would operate in the word of knowledge. A huge amount of accuracy on, because I know listening to him talking to people, he would minister to people, and he would be huge. He would tell people, you know, things about themselves. I mean, hugely accurate, dealing with people, their problem or whatever they're dealing with, and he would really, really accurate about things and is operating in the words of knowledge. And anyhow, the one meeting he called me out, and he just told me to stand up, and he stand up and he said, I see you're a teacher sent from God. And he went on to talk about some things that the Lord had told me, that the Lord had spoken to me. He couldn't have known it unless God told him, because I never talked to anybody else about it. But he said this to me. He said, I see you as a teacher. He said, and this really helped me. He said, I see you. He said, you're like a man that you have a loaf of bread. And he said, you tear it off and you give it to people. And he said, you give it to them. And he said, some say it's too hard, it's too dry. Some say it's too many seeds. And he said, they throw it back to you. He said, some people take it, they eat it, they like it, enjoy it. He said, the ones that throw it back, he said, don't worry about them. He said, you just feed the ones that want it. And I learned a thing. You know, people don't receive it. I don't spend time. They know you're spending time with people that don't receive it. You need to learn to understand. Jesus told the disciples, you go there and preach, they don't receive it, shake the dust off your feet and go. You know what Christians do? They wear out their lives and wear themselves out trying to make people believe who don't want to believe. Trying to make people accept things that they don't want to accept. You got to learn not to do that. So I learned that. I teach, don't bother me in the least if somebody don't want it. That don't bother me in the least anymore. I just ignore it. I just give it to one. You find somebody that wants it, give it to them. Bless them. Minister to them. But somebody that don't want it. And so Paul had people that wanted it, but the whole thing, he did. He found out where these people were in their religious belief. He found out, and he preached Christ to them where they were, from the standpoint of where they were at. He didn't try to give them something. He didn't go over there and try a philosophy lesson and try to bring through Christ from that. He didn't do that. So we need to know that in ministering to people. So we need to learn to locate where people are at. Sometimes you got to listen to a person talk a little bit. Let them go and talk some, and you find out. I found this out. I listen to a person talk a while, and I can tell you where they're coming from. I can tell you where they are. You just listen a while. You know, I've had people tell me, oh, I'm believing God and trusting God. Let them talk about 20 minutes, and I find out they don't have a clue what they're talking about. They ain't got a clue. But you find out where they are, and then you start talking to them about where they are, where they're at, and where they got to, you know, that's where you talk to them and get it fixed. If the person's not interested to it, well, then, you know, just let it alone. But you find out where a person's at, and you teach them from the place of where they're at. So that's one thing that's important. And be honest with yourself of where you're at. Be honest with yourself where you're at. You know if what you're believing is working or not. Don't tell people that it's working when you know it's not. No, don't lie to yourself. You hurt yourself more than anything. Don't lie to yourself. It's not working. Because what happens is, if you lie to yourself, you won't be teachable in that area. You won't learn anything. If you don't know, you don't know. There ain't nothing wrong with not knowing things. If anybody thinks they know it all about the stuff, well, they surely got another thing coming. We need to develop and we need to learn. So we want to walk in light with the Word of God. So locate where a person's at. Locate where yourself is at. Find out. Learn about where you're believing and what you don't believe. If you're struggling at something, there's nothing wrong with that. But you'll never correct it if you don't deal with the fact of you know where you're at. It'll never get corrected. Now, when we look at the Word of God, though, we want to really understand that God's Word, in whatever it is that we are going after with God, there is steps that you take. Just like we talked about salvation, there are steps that lead to salvation. The Bible tells us. We know this. There's got to be a preacher. The Bible tells us. How will they believe unless somebody preaches? There's got to be a preacher. See, there's steps that follow through. There's steps on what a person has to believe. There are steps in these. In other words, we preach the gospel. It doesn't come to making confession to Christ till after the gospel's preached. Yes, so many people want to lead people to Christ without ever preaching the gospel to them. They don't preach the gospel to them. They try to jump from start at step one and jump to step ten. Let's finish this thing off. They just, let's get the prayer in. I'll just get them to confess Jesus. Well, the person's going to confess Christ, but they don't believe nothing in their heart, and it amounts to nothing. So there is systematic. It's the idea that there's a mathematical concept really to it. It's one step at a time. One step leads to the next step. Just like a mathematical formula. You get mathematical formulas. Some formulas are very large, have many steps. But if you want to get the answer, you follow each step in the formula to arrive at the answer. You can't, if you skip a step, you ain't going to have the right answer. So understand that. It's just like I said, before we talked about. You learn to add and subtract, then you learn to multiply. So there's a systematic following something, and people, a lot of times people don't like that. See, people are getting a problem, and deal with yourself in this area. People have a problem. It's like just in the areas of healing. People get sick and they don't feel good, and nobody don't like to go through the things we, I shouldn't say nobody. Some people seem to like being sick. Some people, generally speaking, let's say this, most people who have any kind of sanity don't like to be sick. When they get sick, they don't like it. And if you don't watch yourself, people get themselves where they get so focused on the end result of wanting healed, they don't pay attention to what you have to do to get healed. So in other words, you make sure with yourself, that you're willing. You're not over here so focused on end result that you don't look at the things you need to do to get an end result, that you have to have to get it. People go to a doctor. Sometimes people go to a doctor and they want an end result. Their end result is, give me a medication that's just going to make me feel better. And maybe there's some other things they have to do. I don't want to do those. I just give me a pill and I want to, I just want to feel better. But they don't want to do the other stuff. Well, is make sure that you're willing to listen and hear the things that you need to do to get to your end result. Don't let the problem that you face dominate you so much. I get around sometimes with people, they're so dominated by their problem, they can't hear you talk about what they need to do to overcome it. They just look at if you talk to them, they'll just come right back with you what their problem is. Talking about your problem don't solve a problem, it don't work that way. So we need to be careful. In other words, so there's things that we have to follow through. Now, you need to understand this when it comes to the areas of the things of the Word of God, especially in the areas of healing and things. It's not complicated to get saved. It is a little more complicated to get healed. Now, I don't want you to take it in the wrong way. What I want you to understand is it's more complicated because you're going to have to deal with your flesh. People who won't deal with their flesh are going to have a hard time going into these areas or dealing with this, because, let's say, adding is easier than subtracting. Adding and subtracting are easier than multiplication. Adding, subtracting, multiplying, and dividing is easier than doing fractions. But now let's put it this way. Once you really learn these things and get good at them, it's not harder, because it all has to do with adding and subtracting, multiplying, dividing. But it isn't easier to learn to deal with your flesh. Healing's exactly the same way. The more you go into the steps to follow healing, the more you're going to have to deal with your flesh. That's the hard part. It isn't that healing's hard to get, but dealing with your flesh, depending on how we let our flesh get out of line. Some people, their flesh controls them a lot more than others. They'll have a more difficult time dealing with it because their flesh controls what they do more. And you have to know that. You have to learn to be able to bring your flesh. You can't, the principles you follow in the Word of God are not fleshly, and they're not in line with the flesh, and they're going to make, and sometimes it makes it, if you can't control your flesh, you'll have a hard time coming in line with God's Word. That's what most people have trouble with, is their flesh dominates them. And you need to understand that. If you can't make your flesh behave, you're going to have a hard time with it. Because that's where the problem comes with. The problem comes with dealing with your flesh, because your flesh isn't going to like Mark 11, 23 and 24. It ain't going to like it. I'm just telling you. Your flesh is not going to like you saying you believe you receive something when it don't feel something. Your flesh is going to tell you. And if you, I don't feel better, it must not be working. Your flesh is going to say that. If you can't bring your flesh under control, you're going to have a hard time with healing. If you can't bring your flesh and tell, flesh, shut up, this ain't about feeling. You will feel well if you shut up. You'll feel a lot better if you be quiet, flesh. So understand that. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the principle of faith is no harder. It's dealing with the fleshly side is where really, is Paul said about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God in the pulling down of strongholds, taking every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What we're dealing with is the flesh and its thoughts are going to try to fight against our moving over into the areas to come in line with the Word of God. And so that's something that we have to understand when we're dealing with something. We must understand that when we're coming to the place or dealing with these things, we're dealing with our flesh. And your flesh is really, that's really the hard part, is overcoming, learning to overcome the flesh. If anything that I find that I deal with is that there's the things, the areas of the flesh. Of when I'm moving toward the things of God, my flesh either feels, sees, or, whatever, and it doesn't look like it's working in getting myself over to bring my flesh under to say, hey, flesh, we're not going to follow what you think, what you feel. We're going to follow. I'm going to stay in line with what God's Word says. I'm going to stay in line with this. God's Word's right on this thing. God's Word says I'm healed when I'm healed. I mean, that's it. Doesn't matter what you're yelling about. So you got that, and really, that's an area that is very difficult. So, going to one step at a time, and this is one thing we go in is if we follow things, it's just like if you look at a mathematical formula. If you follow a mathematical formula one step at a time, it's much easier than you try to engulf the whole thing. You take one step at a time. And that there's one of the areas of learning about healing and how we learn one step at a time. Where am I at? You know, as you get along in these areas and learn more about them, sometimes there's things that you're automatically into and walking. And so it's not like starting off at the bottom, at the base of it again. But you must learn the foundational principles or you don't get up to the other. They have to become things in you that are very strong. From the areas that I know it's God's will for me to be healed. I mean, I don't have to sit down and learn that one again. because, but that doesn't mean I don't go over and read things about it and God's willing, you know, and those things. Keep yourself built up in it. But there are things that I already know. If somebody comes along to me and says, well, maybe God doesn't want you well, I know right away that that's not true. I know that. You get somebody that's not found in that, and they'll get somebody coming. You know how many times I have taught stuff in church, and a Sunday or so later, somebody comes to me, well, I was watching on TV, and so-and-so said, I said, yeah, so-and-so said, what's the Bible say? Every time they quote what a preacher said, and they don't, you say, well, what's the Bible say? And they look at you dumb. You know, people just take it. Somebody say something. Well, he's. And I've had people say this to me. Well, he's a big name preacher. He's got, my words, he's got thousands of members in his church. Oh, well, the devil's got millions. So is he right? You know, people don't realize how stupid they get. They just get stupid. Boy, you tell them they're stupid, they just get mad as a hornet. But they're stupid because they just hear something said, and it throws them right off. As wise, they don't get founded in what the Word of God says. That's why we want to look at what the Word of God says. That's why we want to found these things. We want to found things on the Word of God. So God said this, or God said, this is what God said. It doesn't matter what somebody else said. God said this. So you have to determine, really, who you're going to give your authority to. Who you're going to believe is the ultimate authority. I don't care what some guy says. I don't care if it's a 15 billion member church. I don't care. If what he says ain't in line with the Word of God, I don't even pay no attention to it. It don't matter. I ain't paying attention to it. If it's in line with the Word of God, don't matter. I don't care who follows him. I don't care how many people like him and listen to him and send money to him. I don't care. It's what God's Word says. That's what I need to know, because that's where faith is in. Now, so there are certain things, and we need to understand this. There are certain things, this is why as we go on, we're going to start building steps. There are certain things that you must know. You must know about if you want to be healed. You must. There's things that you must know. Must. It's not going to work if you don't know certain things. It won't work. Understand this. The lost can't be saved if there's certain things they don't know. They can't be saved. It's impossible. Well, God can do anything. Yes, He can, but He don't. He don't just do everything just because He can. God can, you know, people sit around and say, well, God could lie. The Bible says it's impossible for God to lie. In a sense, you'd take the standpoint, well, why can't God lie? It's because He's righteous. He can't lie. But if God decided He wanted to be unrighteous, He could. If He's God. But He ain't gonna be. There's things that God ain't going to do. God's going to follow and walk in line with certain things, and He's going to move in line with certain things, and people need to know that. It is no matter no matter what I do, if I say God can, that's fine, I could say that. But it has to be in line with how God reacts and what He does. So, we need to understand that there's things that we must come in line in. Things from the standpoint of the Word of God. And I want to talk about this because there's things that we should do and there's things that we must do. There's things you should do. Would be a good idea. That's just the standpoint. You know, you should wash your car every once in a while. That's just a should do. But you know what? You must put gas in it to drive them if you got a gasoline operated engine. You're going to have to do that. That's a must. See, there's things you should do, but there's things, I'm just telling you, you must do. Now, you know, to get Mark 11:24 says you will have whatever you prayed. Well, you must believe you receive it. You must. You must. You must. You must. You must. This is where people don't get it. They don't do that part. That's a must. That is not something that if you'd like to do that, go ahead. It's a must. So there's things that you must do. You know, it'd be good to exercise, but you must eat. There's things that must. You need to understand this, but there's things of God that are musts. Now, I want you to look at a scripture. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6. It says, But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It's what, now it's talking about God. Is it possible to please God without faith? Is it possible at all? Is anybody pleasing to God who is not operating in faith? Do you know why they can't please God? Because the Scripture tells us this, whatever isn't of faith is sin. See, this is why when people say, what faith are you of? Really, they don't understand what they're saying. If I'm believing in another God, that's sin. If I'm believing in another, some other way that God's believing in, it's not faith, it's sin. That's why it is impossible to please God without faith. And we need to understand, faith is in whatever the Word of God said. Faith is where the will of God is known. I am not in faith if I don't know what God's will says. If I'm doing things that are outside of God's will, they might not seem bad to men or anybody, but if they're not of faith, you know, I could give money to the poor and it would be a good thing, but if I have no faith in it and what I'm doing, it's sin. Do you ever think about that? You can do what's right without faith. Many people give money. They give money to ministries, but they have no faith in what they're doing. They're not pleasing God. They don't believe. They're not believing. Because we find out it's impossible to please God without this faith. He says, for he who comes to God must. See, this is not something if it you'd like to. Or you should, but you know, God knows your heart. It said you must believe. Two things. Just two things you got to believe. You have to. You must believe that He is, and you must believe that He is a rewarder. In other words, do you ever think about this? If you come to God and you don't believe He's going to reward you with what you ask, you're not in faith. You must believe that He's going to reward you. You must. That is a must. Didn't Jesus say, you believe you receive when you pray, that's when you'll have it. So you must believe that God's given it to you. You must believe He is a rewarder. When people pray and say, I don't know if God, you know, if it's His will, He'll do it for me. What they don't realize, they are not operating in faith, they're operating in sin. They are not in faith, they're not believing God's going to reward them. They're not believing He's a rewarder, the one who diligently seeks Him. Do you know, you can cry night and day for months on end. That is not diligently seeking God. You can pray night and day. Diligently seeking God is seeking God by faith. You have never sought God diligently till you have believed God. That faith is required. That's what without faith, there is no diligence. You're just wailing and crying and bawling and just keep begging God. See, faith. We need to understand to see most people operate on such a low level with God, so low, that most of what they ever get from God is out of mercy. It's never out of faith. They're never really pleasing God. They're not pleasing Him in any way. They stay in a very low form. So we must believe that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. In other words, if I'm going after God by faith, then I'm diligently seeking God. And I know I am going to have what I've requested of Him. I know it. I know He's going to reward me. I know it. I will be rewarded. And so you have to have that. This scripture talks about coming to God. There's something you're coming to God by faith. So, in other words, you're coming to God, your Heavenly Father, for something. This verse gives strict instructions about what you got to believe. It's strict instructions. It tells you specifically. See, this is what many people, they just generally read this stuff, but they don't apply it. You must apply these things. These are written there for the purpose. So, it says, you must believe He is. And we must believe that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Those two things you must believe. There is not, you know, something else you can do in its place. Now, I want to say this to you because of dealing with this, because we come to God. So many people, you know, come to God, but really from the standpoint of dealing with God from the area that He is, that God is. In fact, some translations say this. They say, you got to say, believe that He exists. Well, number one, that's sort of ludicrous. Why would a man come to God if he didn't believe He exists? They can't. It's impossible to talk about existed. It's talking, I understand this. Take it in the context. If you read that scripture in the context of what it's talking about people who believe God and God answered them in what they believed. It's out of Hebrews 11. It's the chapter of the heroes. It's one, they believed God and they got what God asked. They believed God and got what they asked. That's what the whole thing's about. What's this talking about? God was whatever those men believed, what they believed what God said He was. And they believed it, and God was that to them. God is to you what you believe. If you believe Him, He's a healer to those who believe He heals. He's a healer to them. He's salvation. He's the new birth to those who believe He is. He is a Savior. He will be their Savior. If you believe He is your healer, He will be your healer. He is. And He will reward you with it. That's what it's talking about. It's not talking about believing God exists. Believing God exists won't get you nothing. My word, you walk around out here and the majority of the people in this world ain't atheists. The majority of them believe a God. There's a God and they exist. Well, I mean, that gets you anything? Well, no. You can't go to heaven believing God exists. So what? It's God is whatever it is that you believe. In other words, the scriptures tell us what God is. God is salvation to me, and so I believe He is. And through doing that, I can get the reward of salvation. I can believe God is my healer. I believe He is my healer. Therefore, I can get the reward of healing. You know, Abraham went out and believed God and went out to a land. Well, you know, God, he talks about, the Bible talks about him believing the promise of God. He got an heir and he became an heir to the nations of the world. Why? Because God, that's what God promised him and he believed it and he got that. That's what God was to him. God was what he said he would be to him. That's why we look in the scriptures. The scriptures tell us what God said that he is. We find out what he is. You know, he's a healer. He's a deliverer. He's, you know, whatever it is. You know, Bible's given you the mind of Christ. God's a God of a sound mind. That's what he's given to men, sound mind. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. That's what God gave me. So I can receive that and have that. God will reward me with a sound mind, not with insanity. You see that? So God is to you. That's what it's talking about here. You know, believing that God exists. See, that's why sometimes I think some of these translators of the Bible, I think they're pretty, you know, I don't think those guys know too much about God. That's why you have to study the Word. You can't just go somebody's translation. You know, the translation says this. Well, I'll tell you what, study the Bible. I found out lots of things that have to be wrongly said in translation because of other things of Scripture specifically says about God. I know they can't be interpreting that correctly. They can't be interpreting it right. Because it's contrary to who God is. I don't care how educated some guy is. I don't give a rip. That don't bother me in the least. It's like Kenneth Hagin said, I don't care what the Greek says. He said, if the Holy Ghost tells me something different, I'm going with the Holy Ghost. But people today, you know, they're not dealing with these things. And I just want to encourage you in these areas because of whatever God is. And that's the whole thing. Too many people spend too much time to know what their problem is. There's nothing matter of knowing something about your problem, but too many people focus too much on what their problem is. They have too much information about what their problem is and not enough information about who God is. They don't know who God is to them. Oh, they'll tell you, oh, I believe God can do this and can do that. I always tell a person that says that, well, that don't even really matter. It ain't going to get you nothing, what you believe God can do. If you don't know what He will do, it don't matter what He can. Yeah, it don't matter. I just tell them straight out. See, you got to break them away from that. Because they think that's being spiritual, is saying God can do anything. That's not spiritual, really, from a standpoint. You check any religion out here, they believe their gods can do anything. That's not spiritual. Spirituality is believing what God will do. Our God will say, if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. That's what He will do. I don't care if God can heal me. If He won't do it, who cares? What does that matter? Why waste my time even studying the subject if I don't know if He'll do it for me or not? I'm wasting my time. Most Christians waste their time. They waste their time into things that ain't ever gonna, they don't ever believe will ever come to fruition. And don't do that. Get yourself over, find out what God will do. Then make Him that in your life. You know, I began to do things as saying, and I remember people get upset at me. I said, well, God will heal me every time. Oh, I had people get mad at me over that. I've had Christians get mad at me. I remember when I first started off in teaching and said, God will heal me every time. And boy, they get upset. Well, who do you think you are? God do this for me. Who do you think you are? Well, I ain't nobody. I'm just a child of God. I just believe what the Word says and you don't. It's just that simple. It's just, you don't, you believe you're religious. You believe what the doctor told you. I believe what Jesus told me. That's the difference. It's what we choose to believe. As we choose. And so what we have to find out, many people are just, they're ignorant of the Word of God. They've been taught a lot of things, but never scripturally taught. They haven't been taught scripturally. You know, how men came up with the idea that, you know, God sometimes wants people sick. And when you look at Jesus' ministry, never one time did Jesus ever tell a person that God wanted them sick for a reason. And the Bible tells us that He didn't do anything. Jesus said He never did anything unless God told Him. So in other words, did God lie through Jesus and fake us out? Well, I can't believe that. That Jesus was a terrible representation of God, wasn't He? Well, we can't see. This is why we have to sit down and judge with the Word rather than listen to people speak about this subject. If I find the Bible says something, I don't care who else says. I don't care. You can get a gang. You can all get, you know, and all have all kind of degrees and say, Ed, you're wrong. If I find out the Bible said it, I'm just going to go with the Bible on the thing. I'm sticking with God. And God's going to have to tell me it's different than what His Word says. He's going to have to prove that to me, that His Word really wasn't saying that. So we want to get in line, and it's, that's one of the things that's so important is getting in line with the Word of God. But we got to get over to where we believe. You know, what's God requiring of us? We got to find out what's God requiring of me to have certain things. There was requirements concerning salvation, wasn't there? The Bible tells us there were requirements. So in other words, we know this because of what Hebrews 11:6 said, there's things that I must believe about God to be saved. I would have to, if I have to believe that He is, I have to believe He's a Savior. I got to believe He's that. If He's not, you know, so some person, yeah, I believe God can save, but I don't know if He'll save me. Well, see, God isn't a Savior to them yet. So now you know where they're at. They don't see Him. So what do you got to do? You got to take them to the Scriptures and show Him that He is a Savior. He will do that. That if they do call on the Lord, that He will save them. They got to come to that knowledge. Then they have to not only just hear that knowledge, they have to believe it in their heart that it's true. They have to come in line with it. Then, you know, you teach them God's side of what they must come in line with their belief about God. Now they're ready for the standpoint, once they believe over on that side of what God will do, now they're ready to hear their side, what they must do to receive that salvation. Because then there's a manward side. So then we take them over to that side, and we tell them what the Scripture says they must do. And if they believe it in their heart, what the Word says God's side is, and they do the man's side, they will be saved. See, it works. So we have to know that. There are requirements for us to believe. So, many people believe this. They believe God was. They believe He used to heal. They believe He used to do things for Israel. He used to do. That's what He's not that today. God was. Oh, when they talk the stories and that stuff, and they read the stories in the Old Testament about what God did and David and all them. Oh, that's all that stuff that He did. He don't do that now. You know, ain't no Red Sea gonna open today. You know, and none of those things are going to happen today. You know, they're, and you know what? Really, the church world and their lack of belief is, wow, it limits God in the miracle area because it's all something of the past. And so, he was a miracle worker, he was a healer, he was a deliverer. And many people are in that classification. And what God wants you and I to come to the place to believe what he is right now. What is he right now? Is he your healer? Is he your deliverer? Is he your salvation? That's what he wants you to believe that he is. You cannot ever go to the rewarder side of it if you don't believe he is. If you don't believe he is going to help you financially, you don't believe that that's what he wants to do, then he can't. You can give all the money you want to give and it still ain't going to work. You have to believe that he, without a doubt, by faith, you can believe that you'll receive a financial blessing from him. It don't come just because you give. See, what really, a lot of the ministers out here that teach on finances, they teach only one part of it. They teach your giving side. They don't teach the faith side of it. They teach the giving. Oh, if you give in this offering, God will bless you and God will get, hold it. They don't, you teach over in the blessing side of it. Teach how he does it, how it works, so you can believe to be blessed. You're going to get rewarded because you believe, not because you put the money out. Putting the money out, if putting money out made it work, then I could just go and I just go give money to good things and I'd never even have to go to church or have to do a thing. I'd never have to read the Bible. I'd never have to do nothing. It don't work that way. I remember I sat in a meeting where a guy, from Tulsa, minister who used to, he was an instructor one time and even he was a dean at Rhema. But he was teaching and he stood up in front of a group and had these ministers, it was always a ministerial group. And he stood up in front of them and he said, I don't receive money from God by giving. He said, I receive money from God by faith. Well, you could have seen most all of them, but just a blank look came in their face. That's all they ever known was, I told you, give, give. And I said, amen, about time somebody preaches the truth on this thing. See, they were trying what they must to do. They must believe. Must believe comes before getting it. Must believe. And see, they teach on the side of the giving side. You give, you give, you give. No, you must believe. You must believe. You must believe that God is a rewarder. You must believe he is. He's your rewarder. That he's going to reward me. I have to have that before I get over on the giving side. So you want to always get over on that side. So we always want to walk in line with the Word of God. Get in line with it, what God is. So we want to get ourselves over lining up with the Word of God concerning this. We're going to go into healing. Next week we're going to start on building the foundation of scriptures, of scriptural things that we need to know. Scriptural things that you need to know about God and people need to know. Many people want to get well. And it's nice. Sometimes God, people don't know anything, but God operates through a gift of the Spirit and a person gets healed. But they can't get healed again unless there's a manifestation of the Spirit, unless they learn how to operate in it by faith. Well, I always wanted to learn to operate in it by faith because I don't have to wait because sometimes gifts operate and sometimes they don't. So if a gift don't operate, I can't get healed. Kenneth Hagin talked about back in years ago, back in Pentecost, he said that most of them operated when he came into the kingdom. Most of the Pentecostal people only knew healing. They didn't know it from a faith standpoint. They only knew it through manifestations of the Spirit. And he said they never ministered to people in the areas of healing unless the gifts of the Spirit would go into operation. Because they couldn't, they knew nothing about that laying on hands by faith. They didn't know about that. They didn't lay hands on people by faith. They didn't know, didn't teach people to receive by faith. If gifts of the Spirit were operation, you got healed. And if they weren't, you didn't. You know, they think sometimes gifts of the Spirit go into operation, people get baptized in the Holy Ghost. He said when he came along and told people by faith how to get filled with the Holy Spirit, he said some of the ministers even got mad. Boy, they didn't like that. He come in getting people filled with the Holy Ghost like crazy. Why? Teaching them how to operate by faith. But see, they only laid hands on them most of the time if the gift of faith came into operation in that area and laying hands on people. I've had that happen to me already. You know, everybody laid hands on them, get filled with the Holy Ghost, just like that. Well, that wasn't, it was a manifestation of the Spirit. It wasn't faith, an individual's faith in God. But I know how to minister to a person by faith and get them into faith to receive the Holy Ghost. I know how to do that. And you don't need a manifestation of the Spirit. So, people get into, we want to get over to have a scriptural foundation about healing. A scriptural foundation of what the, believing the right things and believing the right things so we can receive healing from God. So we're going to want to walk in that direction. Let's close with prayer. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord God, for the things that we've looked at here in the words, the things we've talked about today. I thank you, Lord God, that by the Holy Spirit, you are building a foundation. I pray, for Lord God, for everybody that hears these things said, Father. Father, lots of people need to hear these things. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you'll open up ears of people, Lord God, whether they go on and download them offline or whatever, will listen and hear and take the time to listen and hear, Father God, so they can be delivered, so they can be set free. Hallelujah. Father, because Lord God, these principles will not just help, Lord God, the one who needs healed. They'll help people in all areas of their Christian walk to learn to follow and walk in sound principles of the Word of God. So we thank you, Father God, for bringing us in line with the Word so we can, Father God, enjoy the blessing that you prepared for us before the foundation of the world in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.